Good afternoon and welcome into Kildare Focus. It's Caoimhe Hearney here with you until 3pm this afternoon. Coming up on today's show, we'll be speaking to Stephen McBride. He's Director of Services at Aware. And there's free positive mental health programmes which are opening for registration soon. And Aware is also looking for new volunteers to get involved. So if you think that might be something you'd be interested in, do stay tuned. We'll then be speaking to Joe Byrne. He's from Atai Kyoltas. Registration for the new Kyoltas gets underway tonight in Atai. So if you're musically inclined, do stay tuned for that, and Joe will be here to tell you all about it. Then we'll be speaking to Shell Holden. She's co-owner and director of Save My Day. She'll be giving us wedding tips for newly engaged couples for this year. So if you've just recently got engaged, do stay tuned, because she'll also be telling us the top three hotels in Kildare which have been nominated for awards just today. And then we'll be speaking to Niall Hatch, Development Officer of Birdwatch Ireland. The curlew population in Ireland is in stark decline, with research from UK-based charity Curlew Action indicating that it is likely to be extinct here within a decade. So stay tuned for Niall Hatch, and he'll be telling us how we can save those birds. And of course, if you want to get in touch with the show, you know what to do.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Hearney. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97.
Now, I'm joined on the line now by Stephen McBride. He's Director of Services with Aware, and they have just launched a free positive mental health programme which is open for registration, and they are also looking for new volunteers here in Kildare and in surrounding counties. Good afternoon, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Caoimhe.
Stephen, tell us a little bit about this new programme that you're running.
Yes, so we're delighted to be offering the first run of 2023 for our positive adult mental health programmes. And we have three such programmes starting in the coming weeks. We have our Life Skills Adult programme, which is a programme for people throughout life to be able to engage in it, regardless of the situation you might be experiencing, you know, to come and learn positive mental health skills. It's also targeted at people who may be experiencing mild to moderate depression or anxiety. You know, so we have a broad-based focus for the programme that allows people to learn new skills to cope with life's challenges in a supportive environment with an Aware-trained facilitator to be able to deliver that programme. So if you felt as though in your life that you want to learn something new about yourself, or maybe to challenge some unhelpful thought patterns that you may be experiencing, you know, to come along to this programme. I'll talk a bit more about the registration details a bit later. And the second programme that we have is our Relatives and Friends programme. So often the hidden burden for people experiencing depression are the supporters and loved ones. So we have a Relatives and Friends programme, which is a four-week programme to allow people to learn self-care skills and self-help skills as well too, to be able to support themselves as they're in relationship with a person experiencing depression. And lastly, we have our Living Well with Bipolar Disorder programme, which is a space for people with bipolar disorder to be able to come and learn new skills again, and be able to learn to manage that condition a little bit more effectively and feel as though that they can take charge of it a bit more.
It's a wide array of programs there that you're offering, Stephen, and particularly those that, you know, supporting a loved one with the depression or bipolar disorder, because I think it's something that as family members or friends, sometimes you just don't know what to do in that situation. Isn't that right?
Without a doubt, Caoimhe, you know, and it's very much, as I said, you know, the idea of the hidden burden and what happens in those groups that we find throughout each programme and the group facilitation that comes up within the programme is that people end up saying, oh, it's not just me. So that kind of aspect of learning from another person's story, because very often that a person who's living with a son or a partner or a parent who's experiencing depression or bipolar disorder, they feel as though that they're on their own in it. And by coming to one of our programmes, you really get a sense, Caoimhe, that it's not just me, or I'm not alone, and being able, you know, as you feel comfortable to share some of that with other people in the group setting can be very beneficial to someone. And following on from the educational programme, you know, we do have specific support groups if people want to continue their learning or continue speaking about their story. So So there's that kind of back-end support, if I put it that way, or follow-on support, I might say, you know, for people who really are experiencing difficulties with depression and bipolar disorder right across the nation.
Yeah, and it's something that I suppose sometimes people are reluctant to seek help or go and talk to someone. Is it a case that you really have to be clinically diagnosed with depression or anxiety? Because so many people suffer from even just a mild anxiety or a mild depression, and are they still welcome?
Very much so. Very much so, Caoimhe. I'm glad you asked me that, because obviously we're the national charity for people who experience depression and bipolar disorder. However, these educational programs are suitable for people with a diagnosis of depression, but also for people who are impacted by different life challenges and their mood is impacted in that regard, or they're feeling down, you know, so they mightn't necessarily have a diagnosis of depression, but maybe feel depressed. And it's an important qualification or difference to make. Even though, you know, it's a wide-ranging debate about how to define depression, et cetera, and yet for people who come along to our programmes, maybe they're experiencing a dip in their mood, or they're not feeling as the way they used to because of the challenges of life in their own life or to do with societal issues. And we really feel that these educational programmes, especially, I suppose, the Life Skills Adult programme, provides a space and provides the time for people to think differently maybe about their situation and hear other people's stories and relate to the material in the programme too.
Yeah, and if we tie back in, we'll tie back into how people can get involved with the programme at the end there, Stephen. But in terms of volunteers then, you're looking for over 300, you have over 350 volunteers, but you're looking for 400 more to meet demand.
Not 400 more. We need
400.
We need 400. So we're looking for, at this stage of the year, so the volunteers are the backbone of the AWARE organisation. AWARE was founded 37 plus years ago by a dedicated group of volunteers. And really, you know, as I say, the backbone and the heart of the organisation are our volunteers who provide our support services. So the support services that we have are our support line, our support groups, and a support mail service. And we also have an educational programme, Life Skills Online, which is provided by volunteers or supporting people with depression through this programme. So there's a wide variety of options for anyone who's looking to take on something new this year. And I suppose in January, perhaps we're thinking about different opportunities that we might take up or different ideas at the start of the year. So if you feel as though volunteering or giving back or providing support to people who experience mental health difficulties might be something that you'd be interested in, we'd be delighted to hear from you and to engage with you, you know, and full training and support is provided to every volunteer, you know, and it's a very supportive community-based spirit that we have at AWARE in attracting volunteers. And also it gives a chance for people to learn something new about themselves and to develop new skills themselves too.
So you can go into this, Stephen, totally as a novice. You don't need any skills in terms of, like, you know, having done maybe a counselling course or anything like that. AWARE will provide the training.
Exactly, Caoimhe. You know, so we welcome, we're very proud of our diversity in AWARE, you know, and we welcome applications for volunteers and welcome people along, you know, from all walks of life, you know. So regardless of your circumstances, you know, including people, I suppose, who have engaged in counselling or people who have counselling training, we welcome people forward to volunteer with us in that regard too. But also people from all walks of life, you know, you can be a novice, as you say, Caoimhe, just to come along. And we're very open to having a conversation with you about coming on board and becoming a volunteer with us.
Okay, so 50 new volunteers required there. How do you go about volunteering then, Stephen?
So the best place to, you'll get all the further information on that volunteering application on our website, which is aware.ie. And I'll also be able to give you an email address. So if you were to email recruitment@aware.ie,
okay.
So that's recruitment@aware.ie, you know, just to follow up your interest with that, and a member of the services team will respond to you pretty quickly, you know, because we're actively recruiting right now to have a conversation with you and to invite you for a conversation to further your application. So they're the two best ways to get in touch with us, either by email or else you'll find further details on our website, aware.ie.
Okay, brilliant. And then if anyone wants to engage in your programmes that you're running, I know you do them virtually over Zoom. Is there any in-person ones running?
There are. We do have in-person ones running, and there's a group actually for people maybe in the south part of Kildare. You know, we do have a life skills programme running in County Carlow, in Carlow Town, the Cathedral Parish Centre, on a Tuesday evening between 7:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. So that might be suitable for people living in the south of the county who are in a position to travel to Carlow Town. We also have a wide array of times and available times for people to engage with the virtual programmes during the daytime and a time that might suit people for their schedule, and also in the evening time. And further details you'll find on our website, aware.ie, and the specific area is programmes. So aware.ie/programmes, and you'll get further information on that. So we do, and we're delighted to be able to open more programmes in person as people have become a little bit more comfortable with going to in-person meetings. And we do hope to provide more in-person programmes throughout the country as the year progresses.
Okay, great work there, Stephen. And just finally then, if there's anybody listening and who's thinking, you know, that they would like to maybe avail of your services, but they're reluctant and, you know, hesitant to maybe pick up the phone or send that email, what would you say to them?
I'm always very encouraging to take the first step, all the while realising that taking the first step, if you've never reached out for support, it's a very brave thing to do, to actually pick up the phone, or in our case, as it were, send an email, or to put your hand up and say that I need help. And it's a very brave thing to do, as I say. And there is still stigma around mental health, or admitting to oneself or to a loved one in your life that I'm not experiencing a good time, or I'm struggling at the moment. So it's really that voice that we have at Aware to encourage people forward, all the while realising that it's a difficult step to take. But we're very confident that by taking that step and that opening up to requiring help or getting that little bit of extra support, it mightn't mean that you need a huge amount of psychological intervention or programmes or whatever, but by actually putting your hand up and saying, I need some support or help, that the problems can, I don't know if I'd say go away, Caoimhe, but the problems can be reduced and helped in that regard, and people can find that place to connect with others, because we're not supposed to be able to, I don't think, in life cope alone or go it alone all the time. You know, we're social beings, and it's important to kind of try and trust in our relationships, that we're able to share with people that we have a trusting relationship with, and by doing that things can get better. And at Aware we provide that space through our support services and our programs for people to do that. So even if people can't do that maybe in their personal life, that they will find a listening ear and a supportive voice for them by reaching out to us at Aware.
Okay, well, that is Stephen McBride there, Director of Services at Aware. They have launched a free positive mental health programme, which is now open for registration. There are in-person life skills programmes operating in Carlow Town for people in the south of the county, and you can find more information on aware.ie. And of course, if you want to become a volunteer, which requires no previous skills at all, you can be a complete novice. Again, you can visit aware.ie, or you can email recruitment@aware.ie. That is Stephen McBride there, Director of Services at Aware. Thank you very much, Stephen.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Harney. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97.
Now we're going to check in with Kevin Egan, who is reporting down in Moat on the match between Sculver-Aclane and Moat Community College. Kevin, what's the update now?
I'm afraid the update is it's the end of the line for Sculver-Aclane. The wheels came off on them in the second half here. Last time I was talking to John there before the 2 o'clock news bulletin, it was 1:11 to 1:05. There was a bit of a breeze behind Clane. They were running out of time a little bit. They still had 20 minutes to play. But unfortunately from there, Moat moved through the gears. They got a couple of quick fire goals. Corner forward Ronan Murray had a very, very good second half. He scored 2-2 out of his final tally of 2-3 in the second half. So he chipped in with a couple of goals. There were further strikes as well. Wing back Pádraig McLaughlin also came in with a score. Clane continued to battle, but they began to struggle. Their trump card the whole way through the game with their running from the half back line. They began to kind of, to be honest, lose their discipline in the half back line a little bit, and centre back James Keighley was actually red carded after the final whistle. They continued to battle with good scores up, with some scores up front whenever they got the ball up there. DJ Percival in particular kicked an excellent point, and he also chipped in with a goal late in the game. But at that stage the ship had sailed for Scullwhira of Clane. They knew they were heading out of the championship. They really just had no match for the firepower of Moat Community School this afternoon. So the final score here at St Lomond's GA Club in Mullingar in Westmead was Scullwhira of Clane 2-6, Moat Community School 5-16. End of the line for Scullwhira of Clane. Moat advanced to the quarterfinals.
Well, commiserations to everyone in Clane, of course, but look, there's always the next time, and thank you very much, Kevin Egan, there reporting for KFM against 4KFM down in Moat for that match there, Scullwhira, Clane and Moat Community College. The full time score there was Moat Community College 5-16 to Scullwhira, Clane's 2-6. Now, I'm joined now on the line by Joe Byrne. He is of Athy Cultus, and registration for the new Cultus gets underway tonight. And Joe is here to tell us all about how you can get involved. Good afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon, Cuiva, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Joe, you're obviously a musically inclined man yourself, are you?
That's correct, Cuiva. I play the Illan pipes and I play the fiddle, and I started playing traditional music from a kind of a very young age. I was 6 years old when I started playing the violin, and it was classical music originally, but I always had the growl for traditional music, so I eventually went on to learn traditional music on the violin, and then further graduated on to the Illan pipes then when I was 12 years old. So it's been on the up ever since.
Okay, very good. I actually was a member of the Kilty Leedstown Cultus for years, and played the fiddle myself, Joe. I can't say I'm any good at it now. I'm very rusty, haven't played in a long time. But when I was there, there was different classes. So, you know, we could, if you wanted to learn the tin whistle or the fiddle or whatnot, will there be classes going on in the Athy Cultus, or do people need to already be musicians and play instruments themselves?
Not necessarily. People can sign up whether they have any musical experience or not. We take absolute beginners, and we take intermediate and advanced as well. So people can sign up tonight at the registration, and hopefully we get some lessons underway there tonight. But if not, we'll be beginning next week, you know. Okay. We just have to deal with the formalities of the registration process. And it's open to everybody from 6 years onwards, and adults as well.
6 years and up. And where is the registration taking place, Joe?
The registration is taking place in the Gael School Ahi on the Monaster Evan Road at Tamar, outside of Athy.
Okay, what time?
6 p.m. this evening.
6 p.m. until?
6 p.m. until 7:30.
Okay, perfect. So 6 until 7:30, anyone who wants to get involved there. And then I suppose, Joe, if there's anyone out there that would like to get involved but maybe is a little bit reluctant and they have no musical experience, what would you say to them?
I would encourage them to give it their shot, give it their best shot, and to come along. As I said, you don't need any musical experience to come along. We're opening our arms to absolutely everybody that is interested in learning music. And even if it's just, you know, a couple of tunes on the tin whistle or whatever it be, you know, fiddle, or if there's any other instruments that people would like to. I should say at the moment we're just teaching the tin whistle and fiddle, but if there is any, we're putting the feelers out to see if there's any other instruments that we need to get teachers for as well. So at the moment it'd be tin whistle and fiddle at the moment.
Okay, but you're open to other people who might be able to teach other instruments as well coming along and getting involved there too.
Absolutely, indeed, we're opening open our arms to everybody who can possibly help out as well.
Okay, perfect. So that is Joe Byrne there, Athy Cultus. The registration for the new Cultus gets underway tonight in Athy, in the Gael School. It starts at 6 p.m. and registration finishes at 7:30. So if you do want to get involved, make sure to go down. And of course, I couldn't let Athy Cultus come on and not mention that, of course, the great and well-known traditional musician and singer, Seamus Begley, he did die at the age of 73. He was a West Kerry man, widely regarded as one of the country's finest accordion players, while his gentle style of singing endeared him to audiences all over the world. Parts of a family steeped in a rich musical tradition, Begley acquired much of his repertoire by the hearthside at home in Ballybuck in the West Kerry-Gaeltacht, and was heavily influenced by the songs and music of his native parish. And releasing his first album in the company of his sister Moira in 1973, Begley enjoyed a fruitful career, performing extensively across the world and establishing himself as one of the leading lights of the traditional music scene. Begley's collaboration with Australian guitarist Steve Cooney produced the groundbreaking album Mehel back in 1992, which received international acclaim. He would later partner with the likes of Jim Murray and Tim Eddy, producing further award-winning albums. And for the last 21 years, he was the resident of vocalist with group Cheda, and only last May he collaborated with the group, featuring Hollywood star John C. Reilly in a new album called Cush Cullug, which literally means the cockerel's footstep, a traditional Irish reference meaning as the days brighten. So ironic now that he departs as the days brighten, and many will recall the wonderful appearance of him and his brother Brendan on the Tommy Tiernan show last year when they regaled viewers with music, song and stories. And of course, don't forget, tonight at 7 o'clock, Clem Ryan, our very own Clem Ryan, will be doing a tribute to Seamus Begley in Ceol Agus Coint. Sorry about that. Ceol Agus Coint. So do stay tuned for that. And if you want to hear that tribute to Seamus Begley, 7 o'clock tonight with Clem Ryan, Ceol Agus Coint. And of course, we wish everyone, all of his family, the commiserations there. Now, coming up after this quick song, we'll be speaking to Shel Holden. She's co-owner and director of Save My Day, and she'll be giving us some wedding tips for newly engaged couples. So don't go away. Shel Holden is here. She's co-owner and director of Save My Day, and she's here to give us some wedding tips for the newly engaged couples for the rest of the year. Good afternoon, Shel.
Hi, Quita. Thanks a million for having me on.
Of course, Shel. So many couples over the last couple of months, of course, Christmas and the New Year, a big, big time to get engaged. You know, what should be the first things they think about once they get engaged and go to set that date?
So firstly, we would like to say big congratulations to anyone who got engaged over Christmas or New Year's. Our number one tip, before you start thinking about budgets, venues, etc., is to savour the process of being engaged and to enjoy this amazing time of life. So I know that sounds like it's an obvious thing, but it doesn't always happen. So a lot of couples that we chat to and we deal with, if they tend to dive right in, you can feel maybe overwhelmed sometimes as you haven't given yourself the time to stop, enjoy this, and also the key thing to chat together. So to remember to take time for just the two of you, don't get burned out, and to keep the focus that your wedding is a celebration of your relationship. What we do always like to remind people as well is there are no set rules that you must follow. So remember to enjoy being engaged, soak up all the excitement, and then when you're ready, we do have some kind of key five questions that can help you in the initial planning process.
Okay, so you can enlighten us there, Shel. I'm sure you're much more seasoned than myself on the wedding scenario, although I have been actually a bridesmaid, Shel, would you believe? I was a bridesmaid twice in the last year. I'm a bridesmaid in March, and I'm going to be a bridesmaid next year as well. So you know what they say, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. But tell us what to do if you're newly engaged.
So what we recommend is you can kind of boil it down to five questions that you and your partner should discuss. So firstly, what's your realistic budget, including your max contingency? And that's really important. The second, what guest size do you feel comfortable with? Thirdly, what time of year do you want to get married? Fourth, what type of ceremony do you want? And then fifth, what type of wedding reception venue do you want? So I suppose firstly, which is, you know, the big one is budget, you know. So the first one is set a realistic budget early. Decide that, and then also set a maximum contingency to go with it. And the key thing, stick to it. So majority of your budget tends to go on your wedding reception venue, the food, drink, entertainment associated with it.
Okay, 20,000 euro on average is what people are generally spending, Shel. Is that right?
Yeah, so in a recent survey that we did with 600 cars as respondents of our Wedding Trends survey, 42% of couples said they are budgeting around $20,000 for their big day. However, that does not mean that you have to do that. You can choose affordable options, or perhaps you might like an intimate wedding with your nearest and dearest that can still have the wow factor. Mm. Like, so for example, there's, you know, many Kildare wedding venues, the likes of the Abbey, Killishy, Osprey Hotel. They all cater for intimate celebrations and have specific spaces available perfect for these. So, for example, the original house in Killishy Hotel, they offer, that's perfect for more intimate wedding celebrations, up to 80 guests. Mm. And the Abbey also cater for celebrations from 30 guests plus.
Okay.
So kind of rule of thumb tends to be the more guests you have, you know, the bigger budget you tend to need to put against this. But there are affordable options. So if other people are spending $20,000, it doesn't mean that you have to.
Okay.
Also, the other thing is to set a maximum contingency. So, for example, if you think you have $5,000 for your budget in total, do factor there is going to be things that you don't foresee, or you might like to get, you know, a magician or that band, or you might want to get, you know, a cheese board, etc. There are things that are going to come apparent as you go into wedding planning. So okay. We tend to say is if you have $5,000, for example, put about 25% of that as the contingency. So mm-hmm. Stick to about, say, 3,750, and then 25% of that should be contingency for unforeseeable expenses that will probably come about.
Okay, and I see here your second thing on the list is to draft the guest list. And I know, like, so many people have problems with this. What do you do, Shell, when, you know, you and your partner want to have, you know, let's say X amount of people and mm-hmm. the parents are getting involved? Of course, they might be helping you out financially and they're saying, no, you have to invite cousin Jimmy and brother, blah, blah, blah. What, you know, how do you work with that one?
That tends to still be one of the biggest questions that we get. So our key thing is always saying, remember, this is your day. This is your and your partner's day. This is your wedding. So the key thing is to have the conversation together on what size of guests you're both comfortable with. Now, we do understand in reality that there also is sometimes, you know, pressures from families or expectations, oh, well, they invited me to my wedding, etc. So there's a couple of tips that we give. So firstly, have you seen, spoken to, had any interaction with that person in the last 6 months? That is, you know, genuinely ask yourself that. Mm. And then secondly, a tip that we do tend to give is if you are feeling pressure, you can also work within a venue that has a certain capacity that you must deal with. So for example, Killishy House, that is 80 guests there. So you might say, I'm working within a venue that only allows for 80 guests, and that's my max capacity. Or in bigger venues, there also is different rooms that might have a capacity on them. So sometimes that's a nice way of managing that, to say that my venue that I have chosen has an X capacity.
Yeah. And Shell, is the I come from a very, very, very big, large extended family, and it would never be possible. You know, I'd be close to a lot of my cousins, but generally you wouldn't get invited to a full wedding because there are so many people. And we always had that after's invite. But yeah. Is that kind of gone out with the Indians? Like, it doesn't seem to be a thing anymore. And it seems like people could maybe get those people in that their parents want to them to invite without maybe inviting them to the whole wedding.
That is, again, what another tip that we give is, you know, the afters are there, and a lot of people that you're not necessarily might have seen within the last 6 months, they're more than happy to just come to the afters as well. They want to come to the party part of it. And so that is, I would still say that is a trend. I think it is still something that people tend to do, and it is a great asset for you to have. If you want to have, you know, a wedding with 150, 200, 250 guests, you could have a portion of them that go to the ceremony, have the sit-down meal, and then you have a bigger crowd that come to the late-night party.
Okay, perfect. And then, of course, just quickly, Shell, because we're kind of caught for time here, where you say I do and when, how do you decide on that?
So where to say I do? So firstly, have a conversation on what type of ceremony do you want. So do you want to tie the knot in the same venue as your reception, or do you envisage the likes of a traditional church setting? Mm. And then also, what type of a wedding venue do you want? Where do you want to hold your reception? So do you want to hold it in a hotel, a like of the country house, an exclusive wedding like wedding venue like the Abbey? And do you want to have an outdoor wedding? So, for example, you can go on to savemyday.ie. You can search for different types of wedding venues that you like be it barn, castle, exclusive. And then you can search for them and you can connect with any of these wedding venues for free.
Okay, well, that is great advice there, Shell. And then you can quickly just tell us the three Kildare hotels that have been awarded the best hotels in Kildare by savemyday.ie. Which ones were they?
Yeah, so we announced three finalists, say three Kildare finalists. So it's a side exclusive wedding venue of the Abbey in best ceremony and best exclusive wedding venue category. Then we have Nathan's Killishy Hotel in best country house and best large hotel wedding venue. And then we have another nice venue of the popular Osprey Hotel in best ceremony and best large hotel wedding award category.
Well done to the Kildare finalists there. Of course, two Nace hotels and one down there in Athy. That is Shell Holden, co-owner and director of Save My Day. We could talk to her all day, wedding tips there for the newly engaged, but of course we will get Shell on again in the future. Thanks very much, Shell, for coming on to us. Now, the curlew population in Ireland is in stark decline, with research from UK-based charity Curlew Action indicating that it is likely to be extinct here in Ireland within a decade. And I'm joined now on the line by Birdwatch Ireland's Niall Hatch. Good afternoon, Niall.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Niall, why is this bird in danger?
There are many reasons, unfortunately. I mean, that's one of the main problems here. There's so many different things hitting the curlew at once, as is the case with actually so many of the birds we call waders, these breeding waders. The curlew is the largest of these. Chief among them would be habitat loss. It has been, you know, there's fewer and fewer places for curlews to nest safely and to find food for them and for their chicks. So one of the main drivers for that has been in agricultural intensification and the switch towards silage production. A big issue has been over many decades, the draining and the cutting of peat bogs, which is one of the areas where these birds would also like to nest. Then also one of the big drivers in recent years as well has been afforestation, so the planting of forestry plantations in inappropriate locations. So in Birdwatch Ireland, we are all for renewable resources, and we certainly need to have far more trees in Ireland, but they need to be the right tree in the right location. And unfortunately, many of the areas where curlews would nest have quite wrongly been seen as, for many years, as being waste ground or worthless ground, so may as well put trees there. Whereas, in fact, those boglands and those high nature value farmland areas are some of the best places for biodiversity and for carbon capture in all of Ireland, so therefore helping us to meet our climate targets. And this has posed problems for the curlews because they nest in big open spaces. So when trees are put into an area, it means that predators like foxes and crows can easily see them and sneak up on them, because curlews nest on the ground and they have no real defence against these. So they rely really on camouflage and on being well away from anywhere where predators might hide. So that's been a big driver. Then if you couple that with things like disturbance, you couple it with climate change and pollution and so on, there's many things hitting them at once, unfortunately.
Okay, so curlews like open boggy ground. There's obviously many bogs here in County Kildare, but like you said, you know, used for different things, and many might be used for forestry and of course like the cutting of turf, which is now obviously restricted in some ways. But in terms of what people can do then, Niall, if they want to try and encourage, is that the word, more curlew, or you know, more breeding and that kind of thing, is there anything that we, the public, can do?
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, we need to address the fact that this isn't a lost cause by any means. This bird can be saved if proper action is taken. We'd urge people, obviously, to keep an eye out for curlews during the breeding season. We get, at this time of year, we get lots of reports from people seeing curlews, particularly in coastal areas, I have to say, but also some inland places too, saying that they see curlews and they're declining. But most of those birds are wintering visitors to Ireland. It's the summer birds for the nest here, the ones that have the greatest concern. So you really only notice those sort of from April, May onwards. And we know that Kildare particularly does still have a few curlew pairs left in some of the boglands. It has some very good curlew habitat. So we'd urge people to please avoid disturbing them where they are. If they know of a curlew nest site, to please report it to either to ourselves or to the National Parks and Wildlife Service. But I think importantly as well, we need more political action on this. It's beyond question at this stage that successive Irish governments, including the current one, I'm afraid, have been failing the curlew. Back in 2019, the government's own curlew Task Force published a series of recommendations that still have to be implemented in full. It still hasn't happened, particularly when it comes to planning matters. We're urging the government, please, to make sure that planning authorities are provided with information as to where curlews are nesting and proper ministerial guidelines to enable them to make appropriate decisions in terms of protecting those curlews. And doing that, of course, we're not just protecting curlews, we're protecting the whole ecosystem that they depend on and which we humans depend on as well. So it really is vital. The curlews, they're wonderful in their own right, but they're also a symbol of something much bigger.
Okay. How many curlews would be left then in Ireland, roughly, do you know, Niall?
We've seen estimates as low as 105 pairs, with estimates between 105 and 119 pairs, and that's in our National Parks and Wildlife Service report from 2021. And you know, that's a catastrophic decline from the 1980s. So in the 1980s, we know there were at least 5,500 pairs across the country. So that would represent a shocking 98% decline in really a very short space of time for an animal. So really quite dire at the situation at this stage.
Huge drop there. Niall, can you describe what the curlew looks like to people that don't know?
Yes, absolutely. One of my favourite birds. So the curlew, it's a very well camouflaged bird. It's a member of the wader family. So most of the waders are birds that have very long legs and long beaks. The curlew, the body, it's lovely patterned sort of brown, different colours of brown with streaking through it. So it's very camouflaged. It has long legs, but the most striking thing of all is it has an exceptionally long beak that curves downwards, almost like a crescent moon shape. So very long, down curved beak. There's really no other bird that you're going to see in County Kildare that looks anything like it. And they have a most amazing call as well. It's really haunting cry, which was once the sound of rural Ireland. It's a sound a few generations ago that everybody in Ireland would have been intimately familiar with, as was the case with the call of the corncrake, for example. But most people today, unfortunately, have never heard this. And it really is beautiful. Beautiful bird to look at, a beautiful bird to listen to, and a real symbol, a real important part of Irish wilderness.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Niall, because my father and my aunts and uncles were talking about that recently, that they haven't heard one in years. And I don't know if I've ever heard one. I don't think I have. But like that, they said, you know, back years ago, they would have heard them all the time. And now, obviously, a 98% decline there since the 1980s. So, of course, we don't hear them as much. But thank you very much, Niall, for that. That is Niall Hatch there of Birdwatch Ireland. He is the development officer, and he was telling us there about the stark decline in the curlew population in Ireland. It's a 98% drop since the 1980s, from over 5,000 pairs to 105 pairs. That's all I have time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow at the same time between 2 and 3.